All right, hello everybody, it's Dr. Ray Heinisch, and I'm joined here with none other than Bly Talberg. Hey, Bly.
Hey, guys, how's it going, Ray?
It's going great. Thank you for asking. Are you ready for another podcast?
Of course, always ready to podcast. We're excited to bring a new podcast to all of our listeners out there that have been anxiously awaiting. So we've got a great one today, Guiding Principles of Fat Loss.
Yes, the 7 core guiding principles of fat loss. So let me give you a little bit of background, okay? There are 3 important components to every plan, all right? The first component is going to be the guiding principles, which we're going to talk about today. The second component are actually the ones that are more of what we see as the poster child of fat loss, and that is the tactics and strategy, okay? So if we're looking to provide lasting benefit, then we have to help our listeners and our readers of our blog achieve all 3 components, okay? So tactics without strategy causes confusion and overwhelm. You know, it basically, you're learning a bunch of disconnected things and you never get to any of them because you're in sort of what we call a paralysis by analysis. You have all of these wonderful tactics coming in, and before you can apply any of them, you are on to the next tactic, you know?
Right, because they don't just fit together. You have to have some sort of formula to make them fit.
Right.
Okay. And
magazines are a good example. Like fitness magazines are a good example of tactics, right?
Yes.
Because they're individual, single components. Do this exercise to achieve this result. Eat this food to decrease your belly fat. So they're just individual, disconnected tactics, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, strategy without the guiding principles causes more of a dependence because you're always in need of some sort of expert to tell you what to do when something doesn't work, right?
Okay.
So a strategy would be an example of like a diet book. A diet book is basically a collection of tactics put together in what would be more like a makeshift strategy, right?
Okay.
And so what happens when something doesn't go as planned? Well, because you don't really get the guiding principles, and the authors of the books typically don't want to give you the guiding principles because they want you to come back for more, then basically you're dependent on them to solve any problems that arise, okay?
That happen to arise every single day. There is always a monkey wrench being thrown into a plan. So the guiding principles without the tactics and the strategy
that causes
what? The so what paralysis, we call it.
Yes, meaning that you grasp the core philosophy of everything, but you don't know how to put it into real life practice, right?
Right. So you sort of get stuck at like, oh, wow, well, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's interesting to know. But then no way, right. And then it ends right there. When that's like a spark moment, but it ends right there.
That's like telling somebody, okay, high insulin levels cause fat storage, okay? Mm-hmm. And if we were to stop there, well, then they'd be like, oh, well, that's interesting, but what does that mean? Like, what do I do? Well,
yeah, what do I do with that?
Mm-hmm. Right. And then the tactic would be, okay, the tactic would be to lower carbohydrate to lower insulin. And then the strategy would be taking all of the carb-lowering tactics, like, you know, what do you eat for breakfast? What do you do when you get sick of eating eggs and bacon in the morning? you put all of those tactics into a strategy, right? And then that would be exactly where some of like the diet books and things like that come into play, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we need all 3. Today, we're focusing on guiding principles so that you will be able to, you know, next time you're standing at the water cooler and your coworker comes up and says, hey, I got this new great diet tip. You know, you'll be able to say, okay, you'll be able to look at that diet tip through the goggles of these 7 guiding principles and decide right then and there if it's something you want to test or something you want to toss in the wastebasket.
And at that point in time, you are the expert on your perfect formula for you, which I think is awesome. It's very empowering for once you guys get these 7 guiding principles ingrained in you, it becomes easier to make decisions.
Yes, exactly. So let's do it. Let's get into the guiding principles, all right?
Okay.
Starting with guiding principle number 1. What is it, Blythe?
There are only 2 reasons why you're not losing weight. This is very simple, guys. Number one, either your program sucks, or number two, your follow-through sucks.
Now, I'll point out, before you go on, I'll point out that some of these guiding principles you may have heard us talk about in the past, but we didn't package them up into this framework. So remember, repetition is the mother of all skills. So don't tune us out when you hear us say something that we've already talked about in the past. I want you to focus even deeper. Go deeper so that you can really develop a mastery of these concepts, okay? And this is one of those examples. This is one of the things that we talked about very early on in the podcast, which was there are only two reasons why you're not losing weight. Either your program sucks or your follow-through sucks, period.
That's exactly right. And that doesn't mean because you haven't found the solution that works for you that there isn't a solution out there. That is totally false. It just means you haven't found the right solution for fat loss for you. So let's take a step back. Is it your program or is it your follow through?
Right. If you believe that you have the perfect program and 5 or 10 fat loss experts have looked at your program and said, you know what, this should be working for you because it fits your metabolism, it fits your genetics, it just should be working. Mm-hmm. And you agree, well, then that only leaves one other option, and that is
your follow through. That means your follow through sucks, guys.
Yes. And there's a reason for that, too. It's not that you're weak willed or anything like that. We're going to talk about that in a future guiding principle. OK, so just know this principle may sound negative on the surface, but it's really not. It's a very positive statement because it's saying
it's going to help you simplify the goal to where you're headed. You can make a choice. It's like a fork in the road. You pick one or the other. And this is going to help you pick the path that's going to lead you in the right direction.
Yes.
This narrows it down to two choices. So I think it's a great one. It narrows it down for everybody.
Well, it's very simple and it's very hopeful. It's hope-filled, yes. I guess would be a better way of saying it. Because you know what? It means that there is a solution out there for you. And all you got to do is discover it and then follow through with it. And you will achieve the goal that you've been seeking. Okay?
That's right. It's the discovery of your solution because there is a solution out there for everybody. There really is.
Okay. Guiding principle number two is this. There's only one true fat loss formula and it's different for everyone.
I hope that just sunk into everybody's ears. Can we read that one more time?
Sure. Yeah. There's one true fat loss formula and it's different for everyone.
So this means that your next door neighbor's perfect diet, who, you know, they look totally fit and energetic and they're always outside playing with their kids. What worked for them, parts of their program might work for you, but not their entire program. So don't go look up what somebody else is doing and think that if you do the exact same thing, you're going to have the exact same results. I think that's where people, you know, sort of choose the wrong path. It's important to be able to step back, take the golden nuggets out, and then create your own formula.
Yes. Mine every diet or mine every strategy for golden nuggets that apply to you. Use the ones that work, toss the ones out that don't, right?
Yes.
That brings me to the next point, and that is that there is only one weight loss study that matters, and that study is the one that you run in your own life. In the research world, Blythe, we call that an N of one, okay? Like in published research, when you see the letter N equals and then a number, that means how many people are in that particular study or involved in that particular study.
Okay.
So when we say an N of one or I'm an N of one, it means that I'm running a study in my own life and there's only one subject and that's me. And so it doesn't matter. Well, no, it does matter what the research says out there, what the published research says. It matters because that tells us what's most likely to work or not work for the majority of the population. So it gives you a starting point. But then you have to take that concept and apply it into your own life and run a study with an N of one. And if you do that, then you will piece by piece develop your own personal fat loss formula.
Cool. Okay. So no more like feeling frustrated and overwhelmed from not knowing which one of the world's endless supply of possibilities of weight loss tactics to use.
Yes. You choose one, you test it, and then you move on to the next tactic. You don't apply 5 or 6 or 10 different tactics. In fact, we have talked about this in the past. How do you develop your own fat loss formula? You follow the Kata formula. Blythe, pop quiz, Blythe, what does Kata stand for?
Commit. Assess, tweak, assess,
Again.
Yes. Yeah. Assessing is the key here, because you can always take a little break and step back and assess what you're doing. And that is really, really important.
Right. But you always want to commit to one philosophy first. Okay. Let's say you commit to the Paleolithic diet first. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a good example. And then you say, okay, I am going to be paleo for the next 3 weeks and test it out. Okay.
Okay.
So you commit to the paleo. You run it through for 3 weeks or so. You assess your results. Well, what kind of fat losses have I seen? Have I noticed losses of inches? Mm-hmm. Am I feeling stronger, more energetic? And then you tweak it. You say, okay, well, I got great results with the paleo, but I'm really, really craving this particular food.
Okay.
What do I do about it? Okay. And then you'll tweak the program. You say, okay, here's what I'm going to try. I'm going to try adding that food once a week.
Okay.
And that's the only change you make. You add this food that you're craving in once a week, and then you assess your results again. And you may assess and see, okay, I'm still losing weight, but I still feel like I'm craving. So you've assessed that technique. Now you've got to tweak it again. Okay. Mm-hmm. You see how this works?
This is absolutely powerful stuff.
Very powerful stuff. Okay.
Absolutely. Yes. Guiding principle number three, mm-hmm. willpower is an exhaustible resource. Nobody is immune to willpower exhaustion. Now, I think every listener out there will agree that you wake up every morning with the best of intentions. Most of us start off with a great breakfast. And as the day goes on, it gets a little bit tougher to make decisions, or you become a little more lax in making your food choice decisions. We lose a little bit of our willpower juice.
Yeah.
Even trivial decisions like what color shirt am I going to wear, or am I going to wear the red dress or the blue dress? Things like that drain your willpower juice little bits at a time. And by the end of the day, we are exhausted. And then we succumb to the assault of foods around us, the bag of chips in the cupboard, or, you know, the peanut butter in the refrigerator, whatever it is.
There is an epidemic of guilt in our society surrounding body composition, Blythe. I mean, it is epidemic. Mm-hmm. People feel guilty. And here's why they feel guilty. They feel guilty because we've been taught that weight loss or losing weight and being healthy is about cutting calories or eating less and exercise more. So what that means is that if I am overweight, it's because I am a lazy glutton. Right. And so we look in the mirror, we step on the scale, and we assume that we gained all this weight because we are weak-willed or we're lazy. And people feel guilt about that. But what we're saying to you is that, you know, you get home at 4 or 5 p.m. after work and you eat that bag of cookies or that bag of chips, not because you're a glutton, but because you have used up all your willpower throughout the day. You know, I think the way we visualize it is we say, okay, in the morning we wake up with a bucket full of willpower. I mean, we mm-hmm. all feel great in the morning, don't we, Blythe?
Yes, yeah. We're rested. It's a new day. We get to make new choices. Whether you consciously think about all those things or not, that's how we feel.
But we wake up with a bucket full of willpower. Now, some people's buckets are bigger than others, okay? And there are ways in which you can make your willpower bucket bigger or smaller. But let's say we wake up and we have a set amount of willpower. As the day goes on, as you mentioned, even trivial decisions kind of drain that willpower bucket. Why? Because decision making is processed in the same part of the brain as willpower. So every time you have to make a decision, that part of the brain gets a little bit fatigued. Just like if I were to pick up a weight, every time I curl that weight, my muscle gets a little bit more fatigued, okay? Mm-hmm. Same thing happens with our willpower bucket. Life kind of strolls on by, sticks its little ladle into our bucket, and pulls out a little bit of willpower every time we have to make a decision, okay? So by the time we get up to, you know, we come home from work, we're exhausted mentally, and you eat the cookies and the chips not because you're lazy or a glutton, but because you just don't have any willpower juice left in that bucket of yours. So you've got to defend the willpower juice. I don't care who you are. I have this problem. Blythe, do you have this problem?
Absolutely.
Navy SEALs would have this problem. Mm-hmm. Nobody is immune to willpower exhaustion. Nobody. Okay?
So what we need to arm our listeners with is how to save some of that willpower juice, or how to get yourself to where you have to make less on-the-spot choices, right?
Yes, and we talk about that throughout the podcast, but I want to give one solid tip that we've never really talked about in the past, okay? And that is what's called touch point principle, okay? Mm-hmm. And this falls within guiding principle number 3, willpower is an exhaustible resource, okay? Touch point principle goes like this, okay? The average American, it's been shown in the research, has to make about 200 food decisions every single day.
Wow.
So what we don't realize is every time we see a commercial for a food, our brain has to decide if it wants to go and buy that food or if it doesn't, okay? If we see an ad in the newspaper or an ad on the bus or in the subway on our way to work about a food or something like that, we've got to make a food decision. If your coworker walks by your desk and offers you a chip or two, that's a food decision you've got to make. Am I going to eat it or am I not going to eat it?
Right.
And that drains from that willpower bucket. And every time we make any decision throughout the day, again, it's drawn from that. So as it pertains to food, the average person has to make 206 food decisions every day, okay?
Wow, okay.
Touchpoint principle says this. If we chunk our life, our daily life, into 7 touch points, meaning points that we can touch our metabolism in a positive or negative way, okay? That would be in the morning when we wake up. That's touch point number 1. Mid-morning, lunch, mid-afternoon, dinner, mid-evening, and then bedtime. Those are 7 points where we can impact our metabolism in a positive or negative way. Now, what that means is if you are not standing in that time period at that touch point, if you aren't standing at lunchtime, okay, then you're not making a decision about food. They just fly right by your conscious mind because it's not lunch, it's not dinner, it's not breakfast, it's not bedtime, and it's not one of these other midpoints within the day, okay?
So you just shut it out.
Yes, you shut everything out. It's just if it's not one of the 7 touch points of the day, you don't make any decisions about it. It just doesn't exist to you. It's dead to you.
That simplifies it right there for us then. That's a great tactic.
And you know, you've done this, Blythe. You've talked about this in the past without even knowing it. When you recommend to people that they make their lunch prior to going to work or prior to going out. You make your food prior to because what does that do? It frees you up so that you don't have to make a decision about food.
Right. It saves you the mental energy of figuring out what you're going to have for lunch. So if you've prepared something, maybe Sunday afternoon, you get all of your – you get 4 or 5 lunches ready for the week. You put them in Tupperware containers. You put them in the refrigerator. You do not have to worry about lunch for the rest of the week. That absolutely frees up some of that exhausted – point in your brain that holds the willpower juice.
Absolutely. And 7 touch points principle takes it to a whole new level because now every day you only have to make 7 food decisions and exercise decisions, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
7 decisions instead of 206. That is powerful. Doesn't just saying 200, you have to make 206 food decisions every day, doesn't that just exhaust you?
It's exhausting. Yes.
Okay, so that's touch point principle. I'll talk more about that in the future, but let's go ahead and move on to the next principle, guiding principle number 4.
Okay. Eat and exercise to change your hormones, not manage your calories. So I think I'm going to say that old school, and now I'm not saying it was wrong, but counting calories is the way that I think is ingrained most people, is ingrained in our way to lose weight is, well, I'm just going to stop eating. I'm going to eat less calories. So we've got this model in our head where calories in versus calories spent equals weight loss or not. Okay.
Yes.
And I think that it goes so far beyond that. It's not even as complicated as that is. You did a podcast with Jonathan Baylor and Jade Tita, and I know they talk about this in the Emmy book. It's about your hormones, not about the calories. It's the types of food you choose and how they impact the hormones in your body. Basically, balanced hormones equals balanced weight. Imbalanced hormones equals imbalanced weight. Your body wants to be balanced.
Yes, and I call this the compulsion engine, okay? What hormones are floating through your system will determine if the compulsion engine is activated in a certain way. For example, if you're hormonally out of balance, then your compulsion engine will compel you to eat bad things and to sit sedentary. If you're eating good foods and the certain hormones are being produced, the compulsion engine will compel you to move more and eat more good things. So what we want to do is we want to impact our compulsion engine so that naturally, subconsciously, we seek out the right foods and we make the right decisions about activity and exercise, okay, so that we have the energy that we need to go out there and do the things that we need to do in order to, you know, not just achieve, cut the fat and achieve a good body composition, mm-hmm. but just be healthier and energetic. All right.
And that's simpler than counting calories.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
Takes less energy.
It's almost so simple. People, they don't believe it. It's so simple. They don't believe it. Like when Jonathan Baylor in his book, The Smarter Science of Slim, talked about how, you know, eat smart foods. Well, what are smart foods? Smart foods are real foods. They're fruits, vegetables, nuts, meat, mm-hmm. eggs, things like that. If you just do that, you don't need to count calories. That's been the statement of paleo lifestyle as well, where they say, you know what? Eat as much as you need to eat to totally fill yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that alone, you don't need to count calories because your brain will do the calorie counting for you.
There you go. That's the perfection of natural food. Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Same thing applies to exercise, doesn't it?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, what about exercise? I'm going to put this – you can put it in different words if you want to rephrase. But once you get the ball rolling exercising, you want to do it again. It makes you feel great. Your body releases endorphins. You want to go and do it again. Now, this may not be for everybody at the very beginning, but once you get that ball rolling, it will naturally fall into place.
It's true. And not only that, it will shift your hormone. Once the hormones shift from your exercise, it will promote better eating habits as well. Why? Because you're more insulin sensitive. You don't have as wild of a swing in blood sugar. And mm-hmm. so your appetite isn't going haywire. So there are things that you can do from an exercise perspective to change your hormones too. So mm-hmm. When we say exercise to change your hormones, what we're saying is don't exercise to burn away calories. Focus on exercises that will impact your hormones and only exercise as much as you need to trigger that hormone change and then stop and go and live your life.
You know, this made something pop into my head. I see so many people go to the gym and they enter their weight on the elliptical and then they do their workout and they won't stop until they reach that 500 calorie mark. Guys, forget about what the machine says that you've burnt. We're not worried about calories in versus calories out. We're worried about doing a workout that is going to stimulate hormonal change in your body.
Absolutely. And we've talked about in the past, so let's move on. Guiding principle number five.
Golden nugget. Without self-awareness, nothing works.
Nothing works. Let's say that together, Blythe. Let's say it in unison. Ready?
One, two.
Here we go. We're going to do it this time. Three. Without self-awareness, nothing
works.
Right. It turns out, Blythe, that with Skype, only one of us can talk at a time. So it didn't come through. But without self-awareness, nothing works, right? Explain. Yeah.
Well, this is full of wisdom. All of the tactics in the world cannot help you if you live like an ostrich with your head in the sand. Most people who fail a particular attempt at weight loss can pinpoint that moment of failure to the moment that they turned a blind eye on their actions and results.
Oh, true. So true. You know, I see this with people. They will be on a diet. Things will be chugging along just fine. They'll be checking their weight or doing their measurements, and then they'll have a hiccup in their program. And they'll have a day, let's say, where they go to work and somebody has this great chocolate cake for a birthday party, and they eat it. And so they decide right then and there, you know what, I'm not going to weigh myself tonight. I'm just going to skip over it because I know it's going to be too high. Well, there's a problem with that. Mm-hmm. And that is you're ignoring important data, how your body responds to eating sugary, large quantities of sugar and carbs. Mm-hmm. So you need to be able to see that so that you can say, oh, look at that. My weight went up 2 pounds. So you can say, okay, well, that's mostly water weight because it was high in sugar, high in carbs. So let me just use that to focus my attention again and focus on a higher protein, lower carb diet for the next few days. We're going to retest it and see how I respond, right?
That can be motivating. You know that you can't put on 2 pounds of fat from a slice of cake, okay? We all know that. But for whatever reason, we decide to allow ourselves to believe that on occasion. Well, that's not true. It's water weight, like you said. And that can be motivating, looking at those extra 2 pounds on there, because you can say, well, you know what? If I reward myself by eating really healthy for the next 2 or 3 days, I can watch that weight come right off. You are in control of that at that very moment. So don't take away that little piece of motivation because you ate a slice of cake. Use that as something to propel you forward.
Same thing happens with food diaries. People are logging their food, and just the act of logging your food, just the act of writing it in a book. You don't have to go through and find the calories or the fat or the carbs or anything. Just writing it down will cause you to make different decisions that will cause you to lose fat, okay? But there comes that time when, you have that hiccup and you have a bad day. And so you decide, I'm not going to log that day because I know it was bad. Mm-hmm. Stay of execution, so to speak, feeds on itself. And it begins that process of every time you mess up, you don't log. Those are the times you have to log. That's what makes it work.
And this may be a hard concept for people to grasp, but once you do, it will force the change.
Yes. It's such an important guiding principle. Without self-awareness, nothing works. Said another way, every blind spot comes with a cost. Every blind spot comes with a cost. If you think that way, then you'll remember self-awareness. Without it, nothing works, okay?
Okay, cool.
Guiding principle number 6.
There are calorie-free causes of fat storage. Now, this throws a monkey wrench into the theory that body fat is determined by calories burned and calories spent equals weight loss or not. The truth is, there are tons of other factors out there that are equally important on how they impact the hormones in the body. For instance, sleep. Sleep is one of the biggest ones I always harp on people for, because it seems to be one of those things. If you have a savings account and you have, 24 hours in your savings account or $24 in your savings account, and you spend 8 of those or 9 of those on work and the other 9 of those on, doing other things, well, that leaves 6 hours. We're so quick to take savings out of our sleep time rather than out of our work time, our play time, our TV time. We've got to figure out a formula so we can fit our sleep in there.
Yeah,
sleep is just absolutely important. I just don't want people to forget sleep is what helps you on your fat loss journey.
Yeah, I like to use sleep as kind of the poster child for how the calorie model kind of fails us, because I can take somebody, put them on a very low calorie diet, have them exercise, and I can make them simply gain fat by just having them depriving them of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Your body, just because you're lower on your calories doesn't necessarily mean you're going to burn fat, because when you're sleep deprived, the hormones shift in such a way that you burn your muscle instead of your fat. So you can literally become fatter while you are eating fewer and fewer calories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Same thing happens with stress.
Yes.
All right. That's also another one of those examples where there are calorie-free causes of fat storage. So that's the whole purpose of this whole guiding principle number 6, is I want people to shift away from this overly or excessively focused view of fat loss around calories. Calories matter. Don't get us wrong. They do matter. But so do many other things in your lifestyle. Another one is your social circle, right?
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
We say be careful who you fraternize with, right?
I like that. That's a cute one. Yes.
Yeah, because fat is contagious.
It's rare that you will see people who have been married or together for a long time that are of two completely different lifestyles. Usually we surround ourselves with people who have the same lifestyle. So either get your best friend or your spouse, to hop on the fat loss wagon with you. Because it's very unlikely that you'll see people who've been married for 30 years that have different bodies. A lot of times they look very, very similar.
And when they do, that can be a problem, because I have had people who, I have worked with overweight husbands or wives who had thin spouses. Now, the problem is their spouse is thin, not because they have this fitness mindset or this fitness lifestyle, but because they're just naturally skinnier people. Their bodies just don't store fat very well. And so they eat all the junk that makes their that causes their fat their spouse to gain fat. Mm-hmm. And that has a very negative impact on many people's results. So we're not saying that you have to fire all your friends if they are overweight and you want to lose weight, but we're saying that you have to get them on board, or you have to change the way that you interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to set your own rules and make sure that you can hold those rules true, even when they're trying to get you to come back to the tribe, to do the things the way that, that your tribe has always done it.
Yes.
Okay.
That's an important decision to make.
That's that discussion. That's principle number 6. On to principle number 7.
A successful program achieves 3 main goals. Changes of body composition is A. B is improves health. And C is improves energy. And I think we would all agree that changing your body composition along with improved health, meaning your body is just going to feel better, your joints, your blood pressure, your cholesterol, your cardiovascular system, your brain even is healthier. And improving your energy means you just feel better. You wake up with like a bigger bucket of, what do we call that? Willpower juice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I just want to point out that you know, this is one of those ones we talked about very early in the podcast. I added it as one of the 7 guiding principles. And trust me, I thought long and hard about which ones of these things would become or make up the framework for these guiding principles. And these 7 are it. Everything else that we talk about are encapsulated in these 7 guiding principles. So the reason I added this one in is because you and I have both met people who lost weight and were less healthy than when they were heavier.
Yes.
And so we want to make sure that what you do, if you don't meet all 3 requirements, then you've got to change the program. No matter what your body composition has done, if you burned fat, if you lost fat, but you feel less energetic or you feel mm-hmm. less healthy, then you haven't found your personal fat loss formula yet. You still have some tweaking to do.
That's right. We've all seen people lose weight and become thin, but they don't always, you know, I'm just going to say like People Magazine. You see some celebrity that has lost a bunch of weight. And just because they're thin does not mean that their health has improved or their energy has improved. They've changed their body composition, but maybe not even for the better. Their body fat measurements may be higher than when they looked healthier.
Yeah, I have a friend who was a gold medal winner in the Olympics, not this year, back in the 80s. Her name is Anita Nall. Mm-hmm. And when she was at the peak of her fitness, she was really she noticed that she was really, really unhealthy, loss of mm-hmm. energy, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Then she shifted her diet into eating a lot more raw foods, and now she teaches that. She teaches how to eat raw, you know, the raw, clean lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And when she did that, her energy and her health improved dramatically.
Yeah.
So you can be extremely fit, per se, and still be extremely unhealthy. And we want you to have all 3, guys. We care not just about cutting the fat. We care mm-hmm. about your energy. We want you to have the energy that you need in order to go out there and do the things that you want. You need to be able to live a good, long, healthy, energetic, vibrant lifestyle. But we also want you to have health so that you have a longer life as well. That's more interaction with your loved ones, more things to do. Just make sure that your system achieves all 3, right?
Yep. I would like all of our listeners to commit these guiding principles to memory and then practice by filtering things that they see, advertisements or headlines that say how to burn belly fat in 2 weeks, just using this simple ab exercise. It requires no effort, no pain, and only 5 minutes of your day. Next time you see that, you know, you can immediately see that violates number 4, guiding principle number 4, eat and exercise to change your hormones. And, you know, we'll talk about this more in another podcast because I think the whole hormonal talk, it's lengthy. I mean, we could really get into detail with that one.
Right. You know, that's a good kind of exercise to have. And yeah, this podcast is about the guiding principles, Bly. So there's not a lot of do this, go out and do this, 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 and this kind of talk in today's podcast because it's about the guiding principles. It's about the philosophy. A lot of our other podcasts give you tactics and tips and things like that. But, you know, for example, let's say somebody says, okay, let's get up at 6 a.m. tomorrow And let's get up at 6 a.m. every day for the next 6 months and go and train and work out. Okay. Mm-hmm. But okay. You're going to bed. You can't sleep any earlier than, let's say, 12 or 1 a.m. Right. Okay. Let's say you go to bed at 12 a.m. So now that means you're going to get 6 hours of sleep. And you know that you don't feel rested unless you have 10 hours of sleep. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're 4 hours short on that. So you would then take that idea, okay, getting up at 6 a.m. to exercise, and run it through these 6 guiding principles. And when you get to principle number, which one? 6.
Oh, I'm sorry. Number 6. Yes.
Yes. When you get to principle number 6, there are calorie-free causes of fat loss. Mm-hmm. Then this one, basically that idea gets stalled because you need 7.5 hours of quality sleep for a healthy metabolism.
Right. So if you're violating number 6, you've got to make sure that you've got all of them in place.
Yes. Okay. So that's how you use this, is for the next forever. For the next
starting today.
Yeah, for the next forever, I want you to go through every time somebody offers you a weight loss tip, or every time you see one on a magazine, or you see a diet book, I want you to run the principles taught within those tactics and strategies mm-hmm. through the 7 guiding principles. And if they don't meet all 7, guess what? In the trash. Or at least look for the golden nuggets, extract the golden nuggets, and then in the trash.
Yeah, the rest of it goes in the trash. Well, if we run into any of our listeners, we're going to expect that you guys know these 7 principles.
Yeah, so God forbid you run into us in the airport and you say, hey, you're Blythe Ahlberg. You're gonna look them in the eyes and say, oh, you know, are you a listener? Yes, I'm a listener. You're going to ask,
what are the 7 guiding principles to fat loss? And you better be able to rattle them off.
Oh, yeah. If not, you're going to end up doing 20 push-ups there in the airport and running laps, okay?
You know me well.
All right. Well, that's the 7 guiding principles. One more time, Blythe, go ahead and read them off.
Let's see. We've got number 1. I'm sorry.
Get your notes.
Yes, I do. I have my notes right here. Number 1. There are only 2 reasons why you're not losing weight. Your program sucks or your follow-through sucks. So you've got to assess and use the Kata formula mm-hmm. For whatever program you put into place. Number 2, there's only 1 true fat loss formula, and it's different for everyone. And that is a key, guys. That one is really a key. Number 3, willpower is an inexhaustible resource. Nobody is immune to willpower and its exhaustion.
Including Navy SEALs.
Including us and Navy SEALs.
Yes.
Everybody out there is a normal human being. We just got to work on having a bigger bucket of willpower juice in the morning. Mm-hmm. Number 4, eat and exercise to change your hormones, not to manage your calories. It's not all about calorie counting, guys. Number 5, without self-awareness, nothing works. And if I had to ding, 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 ding next to one of these principles, this is a huge key principle. This left out of any equation will not work. Any formula will not work. Without mm-hmm. self-awareness, true. Nothing works. Number 6, there are calorie-free causes of fat storage, lack of sleep, stress, things like that. And then finally, number 7, a successful program achieves 3 main goals. Changes in body composition, which is what we all like to see, improves your health, and improves your energy, which we all want to feel. I think that was a great podcast.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys for tuning in.
Lots of information.
We're going to leave you with the Grilled Lincolns. The song is Something New. Check them out at grilledlincolns.com or on Facebook. Search for the Grilled Lincolns.
They have a Facebook page. Yep.
Yes. We have a Facebook page as well. Just search for Cut the Fat Podcast. All one word. Be sure to like the page. Blythe, you're leaving all kinds of great motivational pictures and quotes.
Yeah, those are a lot of fun to put up there. I think that because people are so short on time, it's always fun to scroll through Facebook and see something that just sort of like brightens your mood or brings a smile to your face. I know they're quick, easy to read. So I try to put those things up there. So, you know, to be whatever little bit of motivation I can in all of our Facebook friends' days.
You know, what I notice is that people report that adds a little bit more willpower juice to their bucket, believe it or not, because they get that jolt, you know, that jolt of, oh, you know, inspiration mm-hmm. and it adds just a little bit more willpower, and that gives them perhaps the energy they need to get through the lunchtime without making bad decisions.
There you go. Yep. Whatever I can do to help. All right, guys, don't forget to leave us ratings on iTunes. We do read all the comments you put on there. Go to iTunes. Hopefully you give us a 5-star rating. And that is it for today.
All right, so we'll see you at the next Cut the Fat podcast. See you guys.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Pop the pus is blue, and all the sticky things. Again.